Well, praise God. What a blessing it is to be here. Thank you so much, Pastor Christine, for the honor and the privilege of being here this morning. I don't take it for granted. I take it with gratitude, and I say thank you for the honor to be here again to minister God's word. Amen. Thank you. And thank you to all the staff. We love all the KCM staff. What a blessing they are to all of us as our partners. And yeah, I greet all the fivefold ministers. Good to see all of you again this morning, and all our leaders and guests, welcome. Great to have you with us. I'm so privileged to minister alongside my brother, Pastor Noel, and his lovely wife, Pastor Rianzo. Thank you so much. What a blessing you are to us. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm going to make sure I stick to my time. And so I've got my time up here, but let's pray this morning. I really believe God has a word in season for us and to help us this morning and to help us go to another level. Amen. And so let's just pray. Father, thank you for this word this morning. Thank you for this opportunity we have to be in your presence. We honor you today, God. We reverence you. We respect you. And we respect your presence. Your word says, those who honor you, you will honor. And so today, Lord, we choose to honor you. We honor your presence in this place. We honor our partnership with Brother Copeland, Sister Gloria, and our partnership with KCM Africa. And Father God, we thank you. We are partakers of the grace that is on this ministry today. And so, Lord, have your way. Thank you, Lord. Pray this after me. Lord, open my eyes so I can see. Open my ears so I can hear. Open my heart so I can understand. Give me answers for today, for this moment in my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Okay, so this morning I'm going to minister on a word that I know it's, this is what the Lord, I feel impressed on my heart to share today, but I know it's going to be a bit of a challenging word, but I know this word is meant to bring our hearts into alignment with God's heart. Because there are times when our hearts tend to go a bit off from God's heart, and God wants our hearts to come in line with His heart. And so the title of my message this morning is The Dangers of Pride. I want us to talk today about the danger that there is of pride. So pride is trending heavily in the world. And now you and I must be careful because it's starting to trend heavily in the church. We're beginning to see a lot of people, you know, begin to resist authority, you have to be careful with this, anti that. It's actually anti-authority. It is not wanting to submit to authority. And that's a dangerous place for us to be in. And so today, God is wanting us to bring our hearts into alignment with His heart regarding that. So let's start off Proverbs chapter 16. I've got quite a few scriptures, so I'm going to go through and notes. Proverbs 16 verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So the reason pride lifts you up, the only reason pride lifts you up is to let you down. Amen. So when it comes to the humility, the world is not our model. We should not be looking to the world as our model for humility. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, I believe the scriptures are on the screen there. So, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. In the message, it says, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. He didn't say we can't enjoy the world's goods, but we don't love it. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, has nothing to do with the Father. It just isolates you from Him. The world and all its wanting is on the way out. But whoever does what God wants is set for eternity. Amen. So at Bible school, one lecturer told us we need to be careful for the three P's. Pennies, pride, and petticoat. Amen. We need to watch out for that. You know that Samson was the strongest man in the Bible. Sex got him. David was the most spiritual man in the Bible. Sex got him. And Solomon was the wisest man in the Bible. Sex got him. Wrong place, wrong time, full of pride, and it's dangerous. So we need to watch our lives. So let's talk about what is pride. Number one, pride is thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Pride is thinking more highly. Doesn't say you mustn't think highly of yourself, but it's when you think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, that is Christians. Paul wrote this to Christians, not to sinners. To everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. We must think soberly. You and I must learn to assess ourselves correctly, because pride doesn't assess itself correctly. Amen. When a man is wrapped up in himself, he makes a pretty small package. Me, gimme. Amen. Just himself. And you and I, God is wanting us to, number one, this is a warning. Look at what the Passion says of that verse. The Passion Translation. God has given me grace to speak a warning about pride. God is warning us to watch out for the spirit of pride. Number one, to protect us. Number two, he's about to bless us big time. Use us mightily. So that when he uses you, when he blesses you, when he takes you to the top, that you keep yourself in a correct assessment of where you are, assess yourself correctly. Amen? So we need to look out for that. So God always warns us before something comes or happens. He always warns us when he sees us getting off the right path. And he warns us about pride. He does not want us to be deceived and destroyed by it. Brother Keith Moore said to the Lord, Lord, how is it that greater men of God that's been used by you in a greater way than me fell? What makes it different from me? He said, no, Keith, I try to help those guys. I send people across their path. I warn them about the path they were on. I warn them about they were getting off the path. But they didn't listen to me. He says, I don't care how you miss it or how you fall. If you will humble yourself and say, Lord, help me. Have mercy on me, Lord. Please show me. Then I will be there to help you. So it is not that God, that it doesn't matter about great men and little men or whatever. It's about us assessing ourselves correctly all the time. Amen. This has got to do with our character. Amen. You still love me? Say, I love you, Pastor. Number two, pride overestimates itself and underestimates others. I'm up here, you down there. Learn to make people feel comfortable with your prosperity. Don't make them feel like their 100 rand is not great compared to your 10,000 rand. We must learn to make people feel comfortable in your presence with your prosperity. So don't overestimate yourself and underestimate others. Proverbs 6 verse 16 and 17, Amplified Classic. These six things the Lord hates. Indeed, seven are an abomination to him. The first one, a proud look. The spirit that makes one overestimate himself and underestimate others. The first one in the list. Amen. God hates pride. He doesn't love pride, he hates it. We must hate what he hates. He hates pride. Amen. So you and I must watch out for it. Why? Because pride originated with the devil. And pride is it's rebellious, it's stubborn, it doesn't want to submit. And many tragedies have happened because people don't submit and walk in humility. Amen. Listen to this. Pride is just like bad breath. Everyone knows it besides the one who has it. Amen. So you and I must watch out for pride. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, watch out for pride. 1 Peter 5:6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. God doesn't mind you being exalted. He just doesn't want you exalting yourself. Your job is to humble yourself. God's job is to exalt you. Don't announce yourself. Don't put yourself up there. No, your job is to humble yourself. God's job is to exalt you. Amen. We need to watch out for that. So listen, humility is not thinking less of yourself. Oh, I'm just a worm. I'm no good. No, no, that's not humility. That's being foolish. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. You're putting others first. You're putting God first, others before you. Amen. So watch out that pride, that's what pride is. It overestimates yourself and you underestimate others. How do you treat people in the restaurants? How do you treat people in the street? How do you treat people on the way wherever you go? No, that's just my prophetic anointing. No, you're just being rude. You and I must learn to walk in humility. How do we treat people at the airport, in the Ubers, and at the gas station? We must treat people with honor and respect. They are valuable. They are precious. The only difference between us and them is Jesus. Amen. Number three, pride is having an inaccurate overestimation of your accomplishments. Pride is having an inaccurate overestimation of your accomplishments. So remain humble when God uses you. Remain humble when God blesses you. Remain humble when God increases you. Amen. Listen to this. Previous successes can be the seed for future destruction if it produces arrogance. Previous successes can be the seed for future destruction if it produces arrogance. Amen. Think about Peter. No, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, "Hey, Peter, well done. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." And the next verse, when Jesus said he must go to the cross, he pulls Jesus aside. Imagine pulling the master aside and rebukes him and said, "No, you're not going." No, and Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me." You see, just after God uses you mightily, you have to watch out for pride. Because here comes pride thinking you know everything now and you can sort out everybody. Watch out for pride. And Jesus said, "No, Peter, you are an offense to me. Get behind me, Satan." The spirit of pride. God is more interested in what you are becoming in him than what you are accomplishing in the natural. God is more interested in you climbing the character ladder than the corporate ladder. So that when you get up there, you stay there. Amen. Say, "I love you, Pastor." Woo. Amen. So we don't take credit for the graces and the gifts that God has given us. We always give God the glory. Obadiah, did you ever see this book, Obadiah? Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, you who say in your heart, "Who will bring me down to the ground?" You see, pride starts in the heart, where God can see and nobody else can see. Do you know? The prodigal son's sin was on the outside. The older brother's sin was on the inside. And we like to look at people, "Oh, look how they're smoking, look how they're drinking." But what about that brother, sister next to you or whatever, and you got bitterness in your heart towards him and walking in pride? A spirit of the Pharisee. You and I must watch out for that. God is bringing our hearts into alignment with his heart. Amen. The pride of your heart. And you know, when Jesus appeared to Brother Hagen, he said to him, "I will judge my people quicker on spiritual sins than I would on physical sins." In other words, he will deal quickly with things in our heart, quicker than people that we see smoking on the outside. Pride, the pride of your heart. Verse 4, though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. Pride goes before destruction. A haughty spirit before fall. So that is why we must pray every day, Lord God, keep me from pride. Help me to assess myself correctly. Amen. This is the key to the hundredfold, guys. This is the key to the blessings flowing in. When we walk in a place of humility and a place of not walking in pride. So pride originated with the devil. He was known as Lucifer in heaven. He was the worship leader in heaven. He had a third of the angels that were there, and he had a whole host following him, and yet he wanted to take God's place. Imagine wanting to usurp the leader's place. The first church split that took place was in heaven. And here he wants to take God's place. Look at Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart. Amen. Pastor Noel's going to encourage you guys. I know he's, amen, he's going to lift you up. Just let me do my part, amen. For you have said in your heart, I will, five times, I, pride's always I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the further sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. That's why God hates pride. It started there with Satan, who was known as Lucifer. And he actually, that's how pride deceives people into actually thinking he could take over the throne of God. That's what happens when people walk in pride. They don't assess themselves correctly. And the reason why people who are deceived don't know they deceive, because they deceived. Amen. So pride is always I. I wasn't considered. I wasn't invited. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good. I was not informed about this KCM Pastors and Leaders Connect meeting. I never get an opportunity to preach there. When is my turn coming? You know, I've been coming here for 14, 15 years. And all the years been faithful attending. It's in the last 2-3 years that God has given me opportunity. Amen. 4 years. You see what I'm saying? So it's not, we're not yet to announce ourselves. Let God do the announcing. Amen. I also have rights. I'm also going to have my way. Amen. We need to watch out for pride. And listen to this. Pride must die in your life if you want to see the glory of God. I'm going to show you. Let's read Isaiah 6:1 now. And we're going to talk about this king at the end. But look at just verse 1 of Isaiah 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, Uzziah represents the spirit of pride. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. The day that pride dies in your life is the day you're going to see the Lord and his glory in your life. When you humble yourself and say, Lord, I repent of pride. Amen. Praise God. Micah 6 verse 8. He has shown your man what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. God walks with humble people. He doesn't walk with proud people. He resists the proud. He doesn't walk with proud people. People think, oh no, the Lord is with me. We must make sure the Lord is with us. Because sometimes people are hearing other voices because of pride. God walks with humble people. I'm not saying you must think less of yourself and demean yourself. I'm not talking about coming out of your character and your personality and your nature. Just be who you are, but always make sure in your heart that you are walking in a place of humility, that you're quick to repent, you're quick to forgive when people hurt you. You're quick to believe when God gives you a word. Amen? So James 4 verse 6 and 7, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So first things first, submit to God. Then when you resist the devil, he'll flee from you. Many people are resisting the devil and he's not fleeing because they're not submitted to God. Submit to God. Then when you resist to the devil, he has no choice but to submit to you when you tell him to go in Jesus' name. Amen. I remember Wayne Myers, who went home to be with the Lord about 2 years ago, so lived over 100 years, a missionary from Mexico, and he ministered in 96 at the Bible school to us at Rhema Bible Training Center that time. And he said there was this guy who came up to preach, but he came up so arrogantly, you know, so full of himself, and hey, this is my time. And he got lost in his whole message, and then he walked down very sad. Because he was embarrassed. And another seasoned man of God called him and he said, son, if you had gone up like you came down, you would have come down like you went up. Amen. So I hope I came up the right way today, guys. Psalm 18:27, the Passion. To the humble you bring heaven's deliverance, but the proud and haughty you disregard. There is a mighty wave of God's glory that is sweeping over us today. There's a mighty wave of His glory that is sweeping over us. God's watching over us. God's protecting us. God is mighty to support us. Amen. He'll never leave us. He'll never forsake us. To the humble, He's bringing heaven's deliverance today. He's bringing heaven's deliverance. Many of you have been trusting God for great things and the enemy has been attacking on all sides. But listen, just you stay connected to God and no enemy can take you out. You see, the danger with pride is that it blinds people. It blinds people to their own faults and mistakes. C.S. Lewis says, pride is spiritual cancer. It eats the very possibility of love or contentment or even common sense. That's what I'm saying. It's like people will say, but doesn't this guy have some common sense? How did he do this? How did he go with that? How, you know, he was doing so well because of pride. Amen. Say, thank you, Lord, for helping us, bringing my heart into alignment with your heart. So how do you know if you are going blind with pride? Number one, you start to have a demanding attitude. This person expects certain privileges and finds him or her getting upset when it's not there. They become demanding and arrogant when they convince themselves that they deserve certain perks and privileges. This person always brings attention to that which has not been done for him or her. Everyone must know how they were mistreated, how they were disrespected, and how nobody consulted them. Maybe someone forgets to acknowledge your path and all that you did and you become bitter and twisted. All symptoms of pride, having a demanding attitude. So we need to assess and say, Lord, are there any areas in my life where I have this demanding attitude? No, you must make me coffee every day. Huh? We must make you. What an honor to make you a cup of coffee. Amen. So I'm just saying we need to assess ourselves. And not have a demanding attitude. Number two, how do you know you're going blind with pride? Number two, you become unteachable, unreachable, and unaccountable. When people go blind with pride, they're now unreachable. They're unteachable. They're unaccountable. Nobody can tell them anything. This person refuses to receive correction. And is not willing to explain his or her actions. The most common thing that happens when people get corrected is they break out in anger. Now, I understand the way sometimes certain people correct us is maybe not in a nice way. Because think about it, correction is never pleasant. The Bible says, Hebrews, that whenever discipline comes, it's not pleasant for the moment. But afterwards, it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. But at least we must still go away and say, oh Lord, is this something I need to watch out for? Why does this person see? Why did they say that? Is it something I need to check?
If you find yourself getting upset and angry and wanting to pull away from accountability, be careful. You have gone down the wrong path. Every person who fell into immorality or any danger, all have one thing in common. Somewhere in their lives, they were not willing to receive correction. Amen. So let's not fight those who bring correction to us and say, hey, what's happening? Why are you doing this? We need correction. Listen, correction is a blessing from God. It keeps us on the right path. Correction is a blessing. Say that. Correction is a blessing from God. Amen. Amen. He does not condemn me. He corrects me because he loves me. But he doesn't condemn me. So don't isolate yourself from others when you are confronted with the truth. Every one of us needs one or two friends who are willing to confront us and ask, hey, what are you doing? Why are you watching that? Why are you busy with that type of things? That kind of friend is like a guardrail on a narrow road through the mountains. Oh, we need to say, Lord, thank you for those type of friends that will help us. Amen. Proverbs 18:12 NIV says, before his downfall, a man's heart is proud, but humility comes before honor. God is wanting to honor us. As we honor him, he's going to honor us. Amen. Praise God. You know, 1 Samuel 2:30 says, those who honor me, I will honor. Those who despise me will be lightly esteemed. Now, that word despise doesn't mean you're just disgusted with something. It actually also means just to ignore it. So let me give you in a nutshell what it means, that verse. God is saying, if you treat my things like it doesn't matter and it's not important, then I'm also going to treat your things like it doesn't matter and it's not important. So you and I must make sure that we treat God's things as valuable, as precious. Honor got to do with heavy. It's important. It's weighty. Lord, your things are important to me. I'm not going to despise and I'm not going to be lightly esteemed. I'm going to honor you and you will honor me. He'll honor us with protecting our children. He'll honor us with providing for us. He'll honor us with keeping us long, living long and living strong for those who honor him. Amen. We're not going to walk with the proud. We're going to associate with the humble. Number three, how do you know you're going blind with pride? You start to have a judgmental or critical attitude. Whew. This person is always criticizing everybody and everything and finds fault with the way things are done. Listen, no one has ever made himself great by showing how small someone else is. Your candle's not going to burn brighter because you blew out my candle. You got your candle, I got my candle. Amen. Let's stay in our place and we flow in our grace. There's no need to be envious and jealous. Let's not put each other down. Let's celebrate each other's gifts and strengths. Amen. We need one another. Amen. Matthew 7, look at this in the message. Matthew 7 verse 1 to 5. Don't pick on people. Jump on their failures. Criticize their faults. Unless, of course, you want the same treatment. That critical spirit has a way of boomeranging. It's easy to see a smudge on your neighbor's face and be oblivious to the ugly sneer on your own. Do you have the nerve to say, let me wash your face for you when your own face is distorted by contempt? It's this whole traveling roadshow mentality all over again. Playing a holier than thou part instead of just living your part. Wipe that ugly sneer off your own face and you might be fit to offer washcloth to your neighbor. Amen. Say thank you, Lord, for helping us in this area. Amen. God's helping us. God's bringing us into alignment with his heart. God's getting us into more blessings coming our way. So that when we come up there, we stay up there and we still love God and we still love people. And we're still giving, and we're still blessing, and we're still helping. Amen. Praise God. You know, the Lord is reminding me of Psalm 41. Blessed is he who considers the poor. The Lord will deliver him in times of trouble. The Lord will keep him, preserve him, keep him alive. He will be blessed on the earth. And it says he will not deliver him to the will of his enemies. You know, the Lord reminded me of over 25 years ago. We had a gardener by the name of Daniel who came to work in our garden. And he would come every week and so forth. And so we obviously went through some tough times. And so we were at home and needing finances and food and whatever. So anyway, you know, but you know, like Brother Copeland, I don't like working in the garden. So I was using my faith for that gardener to pay him so that I don't do that. But anyway, he kept coming. And then one day he said, listen, I got a job in Pretoria. I'm going to live there. I'm going to work there. God is good. And he left the place where he's staying. And he says, but I'm going home to Zimbabwe. And when I come back, I'm going to get this job. I got this job. And so anyway, from Zimbabwe, he calls me the Friday in the week. He said, he used to call me like, Daddy, can I please come and stay by your place Friday, Saturday, Sunday? Monday, I'm going to Pretoria. I got a job and I got a place. I just need a place for the weekend. And Barcelona and myself, we spoke and we think, but we don't even have a bed. That day we were blessed with a single bed. And we knew that God was saying he must come and stay for the weekend. Now we're in a lot of trouble. We got summons coming to us from all sides. And God is, you know, and food and so forth. Anyway, we knew God as he comes and stays for the weekend. Monday he goes, as we pray with him, as he goes, both Barcelona and I got in our spirit, he's not going to get the job. He comes back crying. He doesn't have a job and he doesn't have a place to stay. And the Lord says, I want him to stay with you. He stayed with us for a whole month. I'm thinking, Lord, we ourselves needing food. Now you want him also. He stayed with us a whole month. He left that Monday morning. And he gives me Psalm 41 on a page. Pastor Lorne also got that verse that same morning. Blessed is he who considers the poor. That word poor doesn't mean people on the street. It means helpless, powerless, weak. Sometimes people have a great job, they got businesses, but at that time, they're powerless, they're helpless, they need help. If you consider them, the Lord will deliver you out of your trouble. And so anyway, he leaves. And as I read the scripture, the Lord says to me, Lester, I never sent Daniel into your life so you could help him. I sent Daniel into your life so that he could help you. I needed you to sow seed into his life so that I could deliver you out of your trouble. And did God deliver us supernaturally? 6 to 8 months later, he comes back with a bucky. His father blessed him with a bucky. He's up now. And he brings his friends and he says, I want to come show you my mommy and my daddy that took care of me. Amen. So I'm saying to you today, consider others. Take your eyes off yourself and say, Lord, what do I have that can be a blessing to others? Amen. So we need to watch out for having a judgmental, critical attitude. Never utter in your neighbor's absence what you would not say in their presence. I must be safe in your absence. Judging someone does not define who they are. It defines who you are. Amen. So let me land now. Hey guys, I'm landing. With this part of the scripture, I'm going to land now. 2 Chronicles 26. Let's look at King Uzziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26 verse 1. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. All the people of Judah had crowned Amaziah's 16-year-old son Uzziah as king in place of his father. After his father's death, Uzziah rebuilt the town of Elath and restored it to Judah. The king Uzziah, he restored the key coastal city of Eloth, a strategic naval base and copper smelting center of the day. Bringing that city online was critical to the economic future of Judah, and Uzziah pulled it off. So let's continue reading verse 3. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother was Jecoliah from Jerusalem. So King Amaziah was king for six years. That's his father. King Uzziah's father is King Amaziah. He was king for 6 years. And after being king for 6 years, he then elevated his teenage son to serve with him. which they did for 23 years together. So his father was training him, teaching him. And so that is how he became king as well with his father. Verse 4, he did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight, just as his father Amaziah had done. He did what was pleasing. Verse 5, Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God, who taught him to respect God. God has been with me in the last 8 months, 9 months, teaching me, saying to me, Lester, you need to increase your level of respect for me. You and I must increase our level of respect for God. There's too much disrespect that's trying to creep in on the church for authority and for the things of God. Zechariah taught him. Psalm 34 says, Lord, teach us. It says that he will teach you the fear of the Lord. He will teach you how to respect God. Amen. And the more we increase our level of honor and respect for God, the more God's going to honor us. I'm telling you, there's certain movies and shows I don't watch anymore because they keep using Jesus, for Christ's sake, for the anointing's sake. They're speaking evil of the anointing that you and I must have in order to overcome. The anointing. That's what Christ means. It means the anointed one with his anointing. So I there's certain things I don't watch anymore. Because I don't want to dishonor God and disrespect him and disrespect his presence. Amen. And we need to have the altars, the family altars restored again in our homes. Fathers, you need to take your rightful place and say, come family, we're going to pray now. Even if it's one scripture, even if it's 5 minutes, but start there and say, we're going to honor and we're going to respect God. And let's begin to rebuild the family altar in the home, so that we can see more blessings flow in our lives, where we submit. Amen. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching real good, but God's helping us. God's helping us. Verse 4, verse 6, Uzziah declared war on the Philistines. Verse 5, Uzziah sought God during the days of Zechariah, who taught him to fear God. And as long as the king sought guidance from the Lord, God gave him success. The other version says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him prosper. As long as you keep seeking God and guidance and asking for help and submitting to him, he is going to give you success. He is going to make you prosper. Amen. Praise God. We need to submit to that. Verse 6, Uzziah declared war on the Philistines and broke down the walls of Gath, Jabna, and Ashdod. Then he built new towns in the Ashdod area and in other parts of Philistia. This man, look at that. We're reading his CV here. All his success. String of successes. So here he defeated major enemy cities. Cities that were once enemy strongholds. He defeated and then rebuilt the cities. Verse 7, God helped him in his wars against the Philistines. His battles with the Arabs of Gur and his wars with the Meunites. The Meunites paid annual tribute to him, and his fame spread even to Egypt, for he had become very powerful. So those two verses, 7 and 8, remind us that he defeated some long-time enemies of his people. Enemies who had been thorns in the side of Israel and Judah for generations. And King Uzziah pulled it off. Because he was seeking God and God made him powerful. Verse 9, Uzziah built fortified towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate, at the valley gate, and at the angle in the wall. So this describes all his building projects. The king oversaw some huge construction projects in the capital city. The man was a visionary and a builder. Verse 10, he also constructed forts in the wilderness and dug many cisterns because he kept great herds of livestock in the foothills of Judah and on the plains. He was also a man who loved the soil. Amen. He had many workers who cared for his farms and vineyards, both on the hillsides and in the fertile valleys. So this talks about how he built fortresses outside of Jerusalem to protect his vast holdings of livestock. He also undertook vast agricultural projects to feed his people and make the nation of Judah self-sufficient. He was a planner and an administrator, a man who knew how to get things done. Look at this man's CV. Verse Verse 11, Uzziah had an army of well-trained warriors ready to march into battle unit by unit. This army had been mustered and organized by Jehiel, the secretary of the army, and his assistant Messiah, or whatever you pronounce. They were under the direction of Hananiah, one of the king's officials. These regiments of mighty warriors were commanded by 2,600 clan leaders. The army consisted of 307,500 men, all elite troops. They were prepared to assist the king against any enemy. So that tells us how we reorganized Judah's military to make it more effective. Verse 14, Uzziah provided the entire army with shields, spears, helmets, coats of mail, bows, and sling stones. And he built structures on the walls of Jerusalem designed by experts to protect those who shot arrows and hurled large stones from the towers and the corners of the hall. His fame spread far and wide, for the Lord gave him marvelous help. And he became very powerful. Isn't that amazing? But now, you know that part of the movie where the music starts to change? You know, this is how what happens now. The scene begins to change in this man's life. Verse 16. But when he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. Say that. When he had become powerful, he also became proud, which led to his downfall. Sure. You know what he did? He sinned against the Lord his God by entering the sanctuary of the Lord's temple and personally burning incense on the incense altar. That was not for him as a king to do. Throughout Numbers, the laws were strict. Only Aaron and the priesthood were allowed to do that. But in his pride, he became powerful, and in his pride, he thought he can do everything now. He is the king. Nobody's going to tell me anything. I make my own decisions. And he went in to go and burn incense on the altar. Verse 17, Azariah, the high priest, went in after him with 80 other priests of the Lord, all brave men. Verse 18, they confronted King Uzziah and said, "It is not for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is the work of the priests alone, the descendants of Aaron who are set apart for this work. Get out of the sanctuary, for you have sinned. The Lord God will not honor you for this." Now, if you read that, that was King Uzziah's opportunity to repent. When they confronted him. You remember one of the things of pride is unaccountable, unteachable, unreachable. They don't want to be accountable. Azariah plus 80 priests confronted him and said, "King, what you're doing is not right." I mean, it took some bold guts for them to approach a king and said, "King, what you're doing is not right." Sometimes we have to be bold and confront. But look at how they approached him, and they said, "The Lord God will not honor you for this." And look at verse 19. Uzziah, who was holding an incense burner, became furious. He became angry. That's the time you should have hit your knees and bowed down and say, "God, have mercy on me. I've missed it. I've messed up. Have mercy on me, God." This is what I'm saying. God is letting us know that he's bringing us into some powerful places, some powerful positions, some powerful finances. And we must make sure, you know, there's this thing trending. No, we all hear from God. What do you mean we all hear from God? Yes, we all hear from God in terms of our relationship. But there are certain positions and places that is not for everybody. Even in the book of Numbers 15, Dathan and Abiram, they came to Moses and said, "Moses, you are making yourself bigger than us. We all are holy. We can all hear from God. God speaks to all of us." Isn't that what we're hearing today? No, God speaks to all of us. No, why do I need to submit to a pastor? Why do I need to submit to a ministry? Why do I need to go and no, God can do it without them. That is what's happening today, where people are rebelling against authority. And you know what? Submitted people are protected people. Submitted people are protected people. Unsubmitted people are open to attack. Amen. So he became furious. But as he was standing there raging at the priest before the incense altar in the Lord's temple, leprosy suddenly broke out on his forehead. When Azariah the high priest and all the other priests saw the leprosy, they rushed him out. And the king himself was eager to get out because the Lord had struck him. So King Uzziah had leprosy until the day he died. Now look at, I read all that CV to you to show you all that he accomplished. And how do people remember him today? They don't remember him for all that impressive things he accomplished. He disobeyed. He went into the and burnt and he died as a leper. That's how his legacy. So I'm saying the only reason pride lifts you up is to let you down. God is showing us to walk in a place of humility and assess ourselves correctly. He lived in isolation in a separate house, for he was excluded from the temple of the Lord. His son Jotham was put in charge of the royal palace and he governed the people of the land. The rest of the events of Uzziah's reign from beginning to end. Verse 23, when Uzziah died, he was buried with his ancestors. His grave was in a nearby burial field belonging to the kings. For the people said he had leprosy. He wasn't even buried in a burial place with the kings where they honor him. Why? Because when you treat God's things like they doesn't matter, then God's also going to treat you and your things like it doesn't matter. He shouldn't have died like that. He should have left a great legacy. And I'm telling you, if they don't want to listen, we're going to listen. We're going to be obedient. If the other believers don't want to do what is right, we're going to do what's right. We're going to honor God. We're going to walk in life. We're going to walk in the light. Amen. Let's submit to God. Let's surrender to his will. I can't talk for everybody else, but I can talk for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. We're going to do what's right. Amen? Amen. So that is the word the Lord gave me to share with you today. You know, thank you. And we give God the glory for that. Amen. So let's stand today. I want us to pray this prayer, short prayer. And this man accomplished so much. And he just began to take credit for things that he should not have taken credit for. And so today I want us just to, you need to assess yourself. If you got bitterness in your heart towards other people, forgive them, release them, let them go. It takes two to reconcile, it takes one to forgive. There are some people that don't want to reconcile with me. I can't force them, but I can forgive them. And I can love them and I can pray for them as much as possible as depends on me. I will live at peace with all men. But don't get into a place where you get into strife with people and you get into bitterness with people. Let them go. God will restore you. God will. You know King Amaziah, his father, King Uzziah's father, was 2 Chronicles, just the chapter before. He said, I spent all this that I had on the troops. I gave 100 talents to the troops of Israel. What will I do? Because the man of God said, don't go with them. God's not with them. And he says, but I gave all this here and I spent all this. And the man of God said, the Lord is able to give you much more than that. Amen. The Lord is able to give you much more than what people did to you, what people stole from you, how much you spent, what you did. But just sow it as a seed. Sow it as a seed. Amen. Many years ago, this guy, I mean, I shared it before, but we paid him $35,000 for sound equipment when we started the church, and he just disappeared. And then he only gave me the mixer, and then 20-something thousand was still not coming, and the equipment, and it was bothering me. And every month in the finance meeting came up in the minutes every time. And I even went to Cape Town to go look for him. Came back. I had to make the case here and nothing came of it. And one day I went to Pastor Christine to speak to her about it. And she said, Lester, have communion over it and sow it as a seed. You haven't lost it. I went on that night. We actually had a meeting that night. And we prayed. I said, guys, we're letting this thing go. We sow it as a seed. And we had communion over that. 2 months later, the ministry was blessed with 500,000 rand. because we let it go. I'm saying let go today. But what about that 100 talents? What about that? The Lord is able to give you much more than that. God is our source. He'll take care of us. So pray this prayer after me. Say, Lord, keep me from pride. Help me to recognize it. Help me to be aware of it. Help me not to be blinded by it. Dazzled by it. Seduced by it. Deceived by it. Intoxicated by it. Open my eyes today. And show me any areas of pride in my life. Give me the grace not to be defensive when I'm corrected. Give me the courage to face it, to deal with it, and to crush it every day in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Father God, I minister the blessing over your precious people today. Thank you, Lord. I pray that you'll confirm this word with signs following. Father God, I thank you that you have brought our hearts today into alignment with your heart because of the great things you have in store for us. We humble ourselves today. We submit to you, God. We surrender to your will. Not our will be done, but your will be done. We thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Pastor Christine. Amen. Praise God.